Alrighty, alrighty, alrighty. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Do a quick audio check. How is that mic? Is it coming in loud and clear? Yes or no? Somebody let me know. Let me see. Alright. Sounds good. Perfect. So again, Sabbath blessings, everyone. I hope each and every one of you guys are having a beautiful and blessed Sabbath day. Praise the Lord in all things. He is worthy to be praised. Indeed, He is. Today has been wonderful. It has. It has been. It's beautiful outside. I already told the kids that once we get off the mic here that we're going to go out. Since the weather is beginning to cooperate and spring is in the air. It's not quite around according to the calendar, but the weather is definitely beginning to warm up that we can go back and hit the trails again. And I believe, is it tonight that the clocks go forward? I think, so how does that work? I get it confused. I do. I think that what gives us extra daylight in the evening time. I think it does, which I'm hoping that is the case. Okay, so it is tonight. So you fall back, spring forward. Okay, so we lose an hour of sleep tonight. So, okay, so that gives us an advantage in the evening time. So it gives us more time in the evening as far as daylight is concerned. Okay. I've never been a fan of it. And just leave the time as is. I know there are some states that just wanted to do away with it completely. But I guess it's fine. It's in the morning time. It'll just be pitch black dark in the morning, leaving, and toward the evening we'll have more hours for sunlight. So I do want to share this with you guys, and it was kind of strange because it happened right after we had our testimony service last week. And I received the text right after Sabbath had concluded. I do know it had to do something to do with the farmers' almanac, but you see how the agriculture industry is going right now and what they're doing with the farmers. I've seen just some pretty heinous stories here lately. I came across one where they were talking about. I think it was in, I got to look at this story, maybe in Denmark, where they were coming and approaching citizens and making it a crime for them to have livestock. I got to nail that article out. I looked at it earlier this week and some things that they were doing to the animals as far as like putting them down and limiting the people to have a certain amount of animals and giving the authorities the legal right to go about and gas their chickens. I mean, putting them to death. I thought this was just heinous, what was going on over there. But this is something that's going to happen definitely worldwide as far as trying to go out to people and not wanting to be self-sufficient. Criminalizing gardens, household gardens, criminalizing the ownership of livestock, animals, track and tracing animals. We have not seen nothing yet, so they're definitely ramping up in that area. So I got it. I looked at it, but I did not bookmark it. Normally, if I see something that's pretty pretty big, I bookmark it. But I know it's in my history, so when I pull that up, I will share that with you guys. If not today, I'll definitely post it in the Telegram. But going back to what I was speaking about earlier, after Sabbath had ended, my mom had sent me a text. And this is one thing that my mom does know that keeps Sabbath. So if there's something that she wants to talk about, she will wait to sundown to share, which has been a blessing in on that regard because she knows it. She has come online and listened to a couple of services. Was when I was in South Carolina, she had came and visited and was able to sit down and listen to the sermon. So she has that and being able to plant those seeds there. So when she sees the enforcement and those kind of things coming into place, so hopefully, praise God, that it will click. It will click, and she'll see that, hey, well, my son has been talking about all these years coming into fruition. So to be able to have that level of respect, to wait until the end of Sabbath to share this news. And immediately when I read the text, it seemed like it was an attack from the enemy, because I'm going to just share it here with you guys. Now, this is my cousin. I've been talking about my cousin here. We've been sharing. We've been going back and forth for questions. They'll have a question, and I'll try to produce an answer. If not, we're going to scripture or try to find some articles to reference as far as the question is being addressed. And he's been getting it. He's been, you know, getting a lot of things that I've been sharing, and we just have been having a lot of questions, some very, very good conversations. And he's just starting to see, and his eyes are beginning to open to certain things. So my mom has sent me this text about him, and I'm just going to kind of read it, what she said. She said, son, Jason's, this is my cousin's name, his name is Jason, his shop burned down. Now, he has a shop that he takes old pallets and he rebuilds them. He takes old pallets from his warehouses, rebuilds them, and resells them, and that's how he makes his money in his shop. Well, they said Jason's shop burned down, and he lost a lot of his pallets, and all of his tools and his forklifts are gone. So he had a little forklift, and it's gone. And then I asked my mama what had happened, and she said him and his son left to go get a haircut, and they had a fire pit deep in the ground burning, and that's what started it. And to make matters worse, that he didn't have any insurance on the building. Because, I mean, this is in the country, so something like that you would never expect to happen. But it did. And I talked to him because, you know, something like that is kind of striking, just to lose your business in a blink of an eye. So I talked to him the next day, which was Sunday, and it's for Baptist churches. Normally the first and third Sunday they would have like the have their gatherings on Sunday for church service. So I knew the very next day he's going to be preaching a sermon. He's going to be preaching a sermon. So I waited to that evening to talk to him and find out exactly what happened. Let me see what he responded to me. Okay, I asked him, so what was the verdict on the shop? Mama had told me everything about the fire and losing the building. And he said, yes, I lost all of my building. My son, I lost my lift. I lost my tools. I lost about 800 pallets. But God is moving with favor. I found another lift that I'm going to get tomorrow. And the guy that came to help me clean up gave me a very, very good deal. And I've already secured the rafters for a larger building with help to construct it. So immediately, like right after that happened, what seemed so tragic and disastrous, because he kept the faith. He kept the faith, and I'm just being able to speak with him, I said, just don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. You know, everything that may seem bad, it's got to be a purpose for it after all. So what ended his older shop ended up being the beginning to something newer and something greater. So hopefully when things like this happen, he can see that, you know, God's hand is still moving. You know, God has his people in all of these churches, even right there in the Catholic Church. They are there, and he's calling them to come out. He's calling them to come out. So, you know, I'm just being able to speak with him and just lift them up that, hey, remember, just remember that the things we've been talking about, that this is definitely a testimony indeed to be able to share before your flock that the enemy was definitely on the attack to discourage and bring you down. All right, so, and it, like I said, it was just amazing that it happened right at the testimony service that it happened. So I want to share with you guys a few things that I came across and just some thoughts, just some random thoughts about, I don't know, you just see so many of these articles, so many headlines, and sometimes you just sit back and be like, just wow. It gets kind of, you don't feel like a level of discouragement, more so just like, why don't the people see this stuff? Either their just heads are hard into it, or they're just so busy in everything that the world has to offer that it just will turn their heads to it, or just like Brother Nick alluded earlier, just toss it ahead. I don't want nothing to do with what you're saying. And you'll find a lot of that. You'll find a lot of that, that if people figure if they don't hear the message, then it won't be held accountable to the message. And you just see just so much going on with the vaccines, with this new presidency, with all these wars and rumors of wars, with the earthquakes, with the violence. It just goes on and on and on. And people now, especially the young people coming up in this world, what they think is normal. They think all of this is completely normal, especially even worse for the children. Those who are, I would say, maybe like born in 2015, 2014, so they're maybe like 6, 7 years old. They're coming up into a world where they got muzzles on their faces. Everything is about, you know, COVID. They're seeing all the violence. They're seeing things that, being apart, not being able to be around your friends or your peers, or not be able to play, it's just become normal to them. This is part of their everyday life. This is what they see. But they're also experiencing a small glimmer of hope because of what they see going on in Washington. Because so many people put their trust and faith in the government, whatever the government declares as no right, or if they're getting like a handout or something like that, they put a lot of trust into it. I saw a lot of confidence in the people when that latest stimulus package was passed. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, Andre, I'm going to get this money. I got all these kids and I got all this. But what about what's going on in the background? I mean, you can get this money, yes, but have you seen that it's not going to, like, solve your issues? And these are the issues that your own government inflicted. So it's like a pretty wicked catch-22. You can get this money, but at the same time, you got food prices going up. You have gas prices going up. In some places, there are shortages. And again, just what Sister Jennifer being placed here into the room, people are being prepped with this money. They're being prepped with this money to receive the vaccines in the future. And these vaccines are doing nothing but just killing people left and right. And they want to call it adverse reactions. I mean, people are dying. I think I came across one article concerning the Johnson & Johnson vaccine where people had taken it and it killed everyone that took it. Like, what is going on here? But you see, none of this stuff is being reported on the mainstream. Now, it's gotten to the point where the deaths are increasing so much and to the point where it cannot be avoided. I'm sure many of you have seen the one concerning the young lady in Utah. I think she was 39 years old, a single mom, and that she had passed away from the vaccine. And I guess they had interviewed her dad, and her dad was had it set in his mind. He just knew, he was convinced, speaking toward the news reporter, that it was the vaccine that killed his daughter. And his granddaughter, which was her daughter, was like, Dad, I think she was like 9 years old. And my granddad's like, no, do not take it, because he was on the fence between taking the vaccine. And he went on ahead and done it, even after his own daughter. And he admitted that he knew that the vaccine killed his daughter. He still went on and took it. And that is the mindset that they're placing upon the people. No matter what, if you want things to go back to normal, you're going to have to take this. And it's not going to be the same. They're going to keep inventing new strains, new variants, new levels of this virus being mutated, that you're going to have to just be in the supplies of vaccines as long as you live. And people are not just understanding the setup and understanding how they're just being ushered right into the new world order. Everything that the enemy is putting into position is falling right in the hands of and the people are just lining up. They're lining up for the handouts. They're lining up for the social credit. They're lining up for the vaccines. They're accepting it all hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I can see right now what a lot of these colleges, I believe this is around the time where they do a lot of their spring breaks. I could just see how they can say, well, we've got students that are on the beaches and they're out, you know, not regarding the social distancing. They don't have their masks. So you can see all this super spreader. We can just see how this new variant has infected these students. They're going to be bringing it back to their classes and infecting more students. I can just see articles like that being written come next week. And it's not going to improve no time soon. But people, again, they put their trust in the government and they believe what the government says and they put their hope in the government. As long as everything is okay, thus said the government, then they're fine. They're good, having no idea that the perfect storm is on the horizon. It's always calm before the storm. I mean, just think about the earthquakes in general. I mean, there have been so many. We used to have those reports here every Sabbath about how many there were worldwide, but now they're undeniable. Undeniable, the increase of the earthquakes. They just keep going on. And when I believe New Zealand, they had a big one. Like it was a 7.3. And then just a few days later, another one, like a 7.4. And then like a 8.1. So just increase. Iceland got hit with a whole bunch of them. All these earthquakes, the volcanoes are starting to show activity. I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on. And how many days are we in 2021? And the earthquake activity is just increasing. Right now, if you live like anywhere near a major fault line, then it might be considering, you know, it might be time to move. It might be because this is like unprecedented. But it was all prophesied. It was all prophesied concerning the increase in earthquakes. But we're living in a world where people think is normal. They think it's fine with the things that are going on with the weather, with the earthquake activity, with the volcanoes that Sister Jennifer just posted here. They think it's all perfectly normal. Seeing red skies in Saudi Arabia, seeing snow in Las Vegas, or not just the red skies, but just a few weeks ago in Saudi Arabia, it was snowing. It was snowing. And now you have red sky dust storms. I mean, just the increase in the strange weather, what people think is normal. We had the wars and the rumors of wars. I mean, within just days of the president being in office now, you know, Syrian wars. I mean, and you see how the base of people, how it changes when war is on the horizon. I mean, up until now, most of the civil unrest that we witnessed in this country have been focused on social justice, social this, social that. I mean, have you seen what's going on in Portland right now? I mean, for the government to come out and say what happened on January 6th was an insurrection, or just deadly acts of violence, even though the one person that did die was what the, I can't remember what her name was, but they determined that the cause had nothing to do with the insurrection. It was something completely different. But the way they are displaying that before the people, that's just one of the worst days in American history. But right now, what's going on in Portland is absolutely ridiculous. And these are attacks on federal property. On federal property, there's not one peep from the mainstream media concerning what's going on there. Between the burning of the buildings and acts of violence, there is nothing. Nothing at all. And we're just talking about what's going on in the social justice realm. We're not even talking about actual wars. So when wars do start, a lot of people are against it. A lot of people are against, you know, acts of war. And you will see, like, the economic conditions in this world will completely change. They do. They do. And speaking of the economy, we're already seeing people who are losing their homes, homeless encampments are rising in major cities. They're going. And people are not even getting kicked out of their homes yet. We haven't seen those evictions that we know are coming. We haven't even seen those yet. They're increasing. Or going back to the food, going back to the food crisis. I'm not just going in a grocery store just the other day. I'm like, whoa, this is rice. Rice, it was not this high, and just seeing the prices of food just going up. And they have been increasing. I mean, we reported just a few months ago about how the UN was predicting a famine concerning the food, concerning a famine of biblical proportions in 2021. It's because they orchestrate this stuff. They knew ahead of time exactly what they were going to do, and they're doing it, and their plans are working. I can go on and on and on about this storm. The cities, the increase in the violence in the cities. I mean, even going in the spirit of prophecy and seeing that Sister White prophesied it, hey, you got to get out of those cities. You got to get out of those cities and get into the countryside. Now we have just regular, everyday people who are seeing what is going on and seeing that something's not right, and they are leaving. They are leaving because they can also sense that something's not right. They are getting out of the city. Some is finding it hard. Some is finding it hard to leave the cities, but others, when they have the means, they are leaving. They are leaving. I think there was a mass exodus in New York. There was a mass exodus in San Francisco. The increase there was like over 500%. People were leaving compared to just the previous year. Or even the cities themselves that were just low crime, very, very, very low crime cities. Not compared to like the likes of L.A. or New York or Chicago. You have major cities like Minneapolis that did not see the levels of crime that they see now. They are increasing. Or even just Portland, what we were talking about just a few minutes ago. Portland, very, very, very low crime area. Those areas are now increasing with violence. Violence. And it's not just the violence that's happening, but the time of day is happening. People are getting killed in broad daylight. Broad daylight. I mean, the enemy and his demons are running absolute rampant. We just see bloody crimes. The violence is increasing. Yet the world over is completely focused on this pandemic. They're completely focused on it and the vaccines and ignoring everything else that is going on. I mean, the criminals are having a field day, and they're being bussed in by the thousands. These migrants that are coming in across the border, they're being bussed in. The people have absolutely no fear of the police. No fear. No fear at all. I mean, right now, this country is heading toward a spiral, a complete downward spiral, and things are not going to get better anytime soon. Anytime soon until people realize that the number one issue that they have, why everything is going the way it is going, it's not because of pandemic, it's not because of violence, it's not because of what's going on in the government, it's all because of the personal choices they make themselves involving what is right and what is wrong. That sin issue, these choices that people make, these choices that you make, choices that I make, these individual choices are choices, the things going on in our lives, are usually the things that we bring about on ourselves. But the Lord will help every one of us where we need help the most in the grand work of overcoming and conquering self. And that goes directly to our SOP reading for today. This is the book, Ye Shall Receive Power. Ye Shall Receive Power. And today, she's continuing in the fruit of the Spirit. And today's fruit is kindness. Kindness. And this is March 13th. And the key verse here is Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. And it reads, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Continuing on, I kind of went into that reading, but I'm going to continue here in the second sentence. She says, let the law of kindness be upon your lips, and the oil of grace in your heart. This will produce wonderful results. You will be tender, sympathetic, courteous. You need all these graces. That's exactly what they are. I mean, you just don't come out of the womb like this. You don't. This is grace from God and God alone. The Holy Spirit must be received and brought into your character. Then it will be as holy fire, giving forth incense, which will rise up to God, not from lips that condemn, but as a healer of the souls of men. Your countenance will express the image of the divine. Having said that, I want to go into this headline here. And when I read this, I want to ask you guys thoughts on this particular headline. Is this church, I don't know, I'll just read it, and then you guys can share your thoughts about what it says. But the headline is, a Tennessee's church form of church discipline has gone viral. And I will pull up an excerpt from this article here. This is a church in Tennessee. I have not looked to see if they or their stance is on the 501c3, but I'm pretty much assuming they are, since they all are government churches. So there has to be a reason why this woman left this particular church. But it reads, I didn't name her name, but it reads, a woman who had been attending West Sparta Church of Christ in Sparta, Tennessee, received a letter at the end of February from three of the church elders. She shared the photo of the church discipline letter on Facebook, and it has since gone viral. Under the church's letterhead and with the name of the recipient covered, here is the content of the letter. Excuse me. And the letter reads, for the last several weeks, we have noted that you have stopped attending the assembly of the church. After attempts to discuss the situation with you, we fear that you are no longer convinced in the need to assemble with the church for which Christ died. We are very saddened by your decision. This failure to assemble is not the only problem that you must address. We have been informed and understand that you have a living arrangement that is not biblical and must be terminated immediately. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I read in the comments, and I guess that she's living with someone who is not her husband. It's not her husband, and they are in like a romantic relationship. So I'm assuming that someone had notified the elders of the church, and they had put this in the letter. Okay, then it continues saying, this action alone reflects that you have not avoided all appearance of evil as the scriptures direct us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Please understand our obligation as shepherds. First, we must watch for your soul. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17. They are, I guess, citing the particular scriptures that they're using for this action. And second, protect the congregation by withdrawing from every brother or sister that walks disorderly, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. If these issues are not corrected and public repentance made by Sunday, so I guess this happened about a few weeks ago, so it says Sunday, February 21st, 2021, we will withdraw fellowship. And it has the elders here and a bunch of signatures that follow. So I'm asking, brothers and sisters, because it seems like from what I'm reading, she wasn't approached per Matthew 18 here. But just the way they handled this, just the way they handled this, I'm just, I just have a conflict. I do. And there has to be a reason. There has to be a reason. And I'm thinking about something else that I've read about members of particular churches who are directing, how can I word this? They were using themselves as informants to the church, and sort of like a spy or snitch sort of way. I don't use kind of use that word, but something like a spy or an informant to direct leaders of what was going on in the homes of people, and particularly during the COVID lockdowns. When they say, oh, these people are not home, they're out and about, they're walking their dog, or they're out in the garden, and the people are at the churches were reprimanding their members based on what they were doing and how they were breaking the COVID guidelines and saying, oh, this is what the government is proposing and you have to follow your government, you know, per the chapter written in Romans. So I'm just reading this in general and just seeing how this was addressed. I'm just looking at the biblical premise and was this done in a Christ-like manner to just totally disfellowship her and not just to say that we're going to do it, but you have to offer this public repentance in front of everyone. Was the outline per Matthew 18, who went to her in a one-on-one fashion to let her know what was going on? And also, who, along with several other witnesses, came and approached her to let her know what was going on, and this is what the scriptures say, and you got to stop. So how did this went straight to the church leaders for them to come in this way and to address her in this manner to put her out before the congregation? So I just something about this. You get like a 50-50, like, okay, I understand what they did, but just the manner of how they handled it. And then you look at the comments, they were kind of divided too. So I'm not agreeing, I'm not disagreeing. I just kind of put that in a way for you can see what is going on and how these churches are handling people who are leaving their churches, who are leaving. And we do know once this loud cry goes forth and the latter rain begins to fall more abundantly, people are going to hear the messages. They're going to hear the truth, and the truth is going to be presented to them clear. And they're going to leave. They're not going to be in agreement with their pulpits, what their pastors are saying. They're not going to like it. And I'm like, wait a minute, the Bible says this. You're saying this. I'm going to follow thus saith the Lord, and I'm going to leave your churches. So something about this story, I'm going to dig more into it. As far as what they're saying here, and pretty much using it as a principle as her not assembling as a reason to totally give them the boot. And there's some more here in this article. I'm going to go down into it and see what they say as a questionable, so to speak. And it also goes on to say that church discipline is a common practice in Scripture, but Jesus' guidance is clear that such discipline is to be done in person, not by the letter. There are four reasons that merit church discipline. There are sin struggles, like a corporation with plan change direction, concerned salvation, and public harm to the reputation of Christ. So I understand where they're going. Like, again, it's just the manner. And it should have been more of a one-on-one per Matthew 18. The one-on-one, then a few witnesses, then present it before the church. But it seemed like the way that they handled this was totally unmerited. But I will post this for you guys to see. And if you have any comments about how they handled it, then please share your thoughts on it. So I will leave that in the Telegram. But this kind of goes hand in hand with what Sister White says here in the kindness reading. No sharp, critical, blunt, or severe words should be spoken. This is common fire. and must be left out of all our counsels and intercourse with our brethren. God requires every soul in his service to kindle their censers from the coals of sacred fire. The common, severe, harsh words that come from your lips so readily must be withheld, and the Spirit of God speak through the human agent. And I'm only speaking from experience. I'm only speaking from experience because I know I have had harsh words against me, used against me, and I have done it in my past. It's just something about words that stick. I can remember things that were said to me when I was like 7, 8 years old that still stick to this day. That still stick. Those words carry a whole lot of weight, and you don't know in the future whether or not what kind of impact they may have on a soul for good or for bad. So be very, very, very careful with your speech, brothers and sisters. Very, very careful. I'm sure I'm just preaching to the choir. We already know this. But be very, 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 very careful. And when people come against you, because they will. You're going to hear some things. Just see how people are treated. Treating those who don't wear masks. I just saw just the other day, this lady, she was going to her bank. This happened in Texas. She wanted to go in there to take out all of her money. She said she did not want to do business with the bank because of the mask mandates, because of the governor there just lifted the mask mandates. And she didn't want to do business with them anymore because they were still upholding their own personal mandate with the bank. But she said, okay, I'm going to go in here and take all my money out because I want to do business with another bank. So what had happened was one of the managers there, or the teller, had refused to service her, refused to let her get her own money. So they had called the police. Police came and made a big old ruckus out of it. And the people are just standing by, just looking, watching the lady. The article says she was 65 years old. So she's a little up there. And the police just came by, and he just giving her all kind of harassment and telling her he's going to arrest her. And she's like, no, this is my money. I want to take my money out and move it. I don't want nothing to do with this. The governor just passed, lifted the mask mandate. So what is the problem here? Well, you're trespassing. You're on this bank. This is the bank's guidelines. You have to leave and all of that. Well, you have your mask on. You're good. You're fine. And I'm 6 feet from you. So what is the problem? Long story short, he ended up arresting her. He placed her on the ground, put the cuffs on her, put in the squad car, and in so doing, he had handled her so roughly that he ended up injuring her foot. He injured her pretty bad, all because she wanted to go in there and get her own money and leave. She wanted to get her own money and leave. So we just see these incidences are happening more and more and more. Between what Brother Nick posts, you just see so many people and the treatment they have versus those who do not want to wear the mask, which is their free will decision. Same as not wanting to participate in receiving the vaccine. And they don't, yet they receive so much scorn, so much ridicule. And this is what we are to experience now, to prepare our hearts and our minds for what is to come. But just as Brother Nick read earlier, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. And I'm not saying that if it's not coming your way right now is that's a bad thing. It's going to occur. In one way, form of another, it is going to occur. All who are, employed, their employers are going to come at them sooner or later, and they're going to present to them the claims of the government's vaccine mandates. And what are you going to do? When that day arrives? Are you going to walk away from your job? Or are you going to go and inject yourself with poison when you know that people are dying? People are being killed from these injections. You're going to be approached. I already know that it's going to happen. So we all have to face those decisions. And a lot of people living in the cities who these mask mandates are more severe, And where I'm at is not as bad. It's only like some of the major retailers where you go and receive some kind of flack. And if I were to go and say I needed a belt for my son, I go into the store, I'm like, I'm just going here just to get a belt. I'm like, oh, you can't even set foot in here unless you have on a mask. No, again, all y'all have on masks. What is the problem? I'm 6 feet. According to the CDC guideline, I'm 6 feet from everyone. What is the issue? What is the issue? But they won't let you walk into the store. So there's just a matter of time before that switches over from, you know, mask into mark. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. But again, we have to maintain composure, have to maintain that kindness, have to maintain those fruits of the Spirit that only through the grace of God and the grace of God alone He bestows upon us. So going back to what she's saying here, by beholding the character of Christ, you will become changed into His likeness. And how do you behold that character? By reading and studying His Word daily. The grace of Christ alone can change your heart. And then you will reflect the image of the Lord Jesus. God calls upon us to be like Him, pure, holy, and undefiled. But the enemy is doing the exact opposite. But God is calling His people. The enemy is calling His people pure, holy, and undefiled. But He wants you to be impure, unholy, and defiled by everything that moves, defiled by food, defiled by fornication, defiled by, you know, what you see on television, violence, just defiled, 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 defiled. We are to bear the divine image, and that image is under attack. That image is under attack. What did I just see the other day? Oh, man, I think someone had posted it in a telegram where they said that Jesus is a racist. Jesus is a racist. And this, oh, man, I think he declared himself as a pastor. He did, no, matter of fact, he declared himself as a reverend. And not just that, he was openly gay, proud of it. So not only does he, you know, is blaspheming by having that title, but he's a homosexual, so how can those two things mix and you declare yourself as a pastor? So when things like this come out of your mouth, and people are going to embrace it. I was surprised the pushback that he got. I was surprised he got a whole lot of pushback between him actually saying this, that you're calling the Lord that you claim to serve a racist. And the premise that he gave, let me see, I think I can kind of pull that up here. I think he was talking about the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7. Yeah, let me see. See here. No, I'll just leave it at that. I'll just talk about that. But yeah, you see, again, going back to how the image is being attacked. It is being attacked by someone who's openly gay. We've had this a couple of months ago. It might have been less than that, where this lady had said that Jesus is a transgender. He's transgender. Because of how he was conceived. How he was conceived. And they're making the comparisons going back to creation and Adam and Eve, and pretty much going inserting some science into it between X and Y chromosomes, and said, okay, well, because Mary had this, and because Mary wasn't impregnated by Joseph, but the Holy Spirit is just like, this doesn't make absolutely no sense at all. No sense. I mean, you base this and saying that Jesus was transgender. I mean, anything to fit the current narrative. And you can see how the divine image is completely under attack. So we said racist, they're calling Jesus transgender, and there's another one where now they call them non-binary to fit into these, you know, new gender fluid terms. I just so many of them, it just gives me a headache just thinking about it. But there's so many of them. Now we have this professor, this religious studies professor, who's saying that Jesus was non-binary. This is what he was. Let me see if I can pull this one up. This is a recent one too. This is very recent. This was on the 10th, so this was just a few days ago. And this professor here is a Pennsylvania professor, claiming Jesus was non-binary, neither male nor female, so it was not the Son of God. He did son. But you got people now who just want to take away those terms. They want to take away son. They want to take away daughter. They want to take away mom, dad, another college I came across were doing the same thing. You can no longer use the terms mom and dad, but say grown-up folks or the people who raised. I mean, long terminology like that. The further confuse the kids, because all they know is their mom and their dad, but now they got to use these new terms or face discipline. Face discipline. Third is going to say that Jesus is non-binary, that Jesus of Nazareth was a political revolutionary and non-binary is a gender sense. What does it say? Wallace also listed to critical race theory. This is a professor. And you want to talk about some blasphemy, brothers and sisters. This is outright blasphemy. This is the syllabus of this professor. It says that we will look at images of Jesus through time as a queer prophet. Queer prophet. Indigenous shaman and African messiah. I would definitely post that. This is someone who had rebuked them later on. And rebuked them. But yes, this is what they just keep putting these things out there to continue to discredit, to continue to attack the divine image of God, the divine image of the Son of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is prodding on the hearts of these people. Hey, what you're saying is wrong, and they know it's wrong. They know it. They know it. They continue to put these things out there, these stories out there, to continue to attack Jesus. They would never say nothing like this about Muhammad. Never. They would never say nothing like this about Buddha. It would never come out of their mouths. Why is it they do it against Jesus and Jesus alone? It's true. Christianity, they know, is the true faith, because they don't do this with no other supported deity. They don't. All their attacks is on God and His Son, and they do it repeatedly. Repeatedly. So I'm definitely going to post that in your Telegram later on for you guys to go over. She goes on by saying, we may talk of the blessings of the Holy Spirit and pray in regard to receiving them. But unless the human agent is worked by the Spirit of God, he reveals that he has him not. When the Spirit molds and fashions the character after divine similitude, he will be unmistakably revealed in every word we speak and in everything we do, showing to the world that there is a marked difference between the children of light and the children of darkness. The Lord wants us to stand stifly for the faith once delivered to the saints, and stand stifly is exactly what needs to be done. Stand firm on the foundation that has been laid for you, brothers and sisters, because things like this are happening. Especially, this Equality Act. This Equality Act, the same Equality Act that allowed men to participate in everything that is strictly for women. So you see the men sharing dorms, sharing locker room, participating in women's sports. This one here is going to now threaten Christian schools, threaten Christian schools and colleges who uplift the scriptures. Now, this Equality Act, they'll be forced to close, face fines, or even shut down. And this headline reads, Equality Act could put Christian schools and colleges in jeopardy. The LGBTQ Human Rights Coalition is demanding the president strip Christian schools and colleges of their accreditation. Now, the intentionally named Equality Act will accomplish that and more. Yeah, bathrooms too. Bathrooms. I never knew this existed. First time actually seeing a bathroom that one said male, one said female, and one said gender neutral. I never thought I would actually see something like this. Came across, I'm like, whoa, okay, this is 2021. This is 2021. This is unreal what I'm witnessing here, but this is what they have now. It's what they have. The Equality Act was passed by a narrow margin in the House and is now live in the Senate. First, the bill would require schools to accept abortion. To accept abortion, which is something that the Christian should stand firmly against. Again, that foundation is under attack. So stand on that foundation. Thou shalt not kill. Commandment number 6. Schools that offer health insurance for students must include abortion. Second, the bill imposes LGBTQ in every corner of the school. So while you're walking around the school, you're going to see rainbow flags and pride this and pride that and everything that is just pure abomination. This includes Q, which the bill says stands for queer. Now, this is what makes it even just worse. This is what makes it even worse and how they will go in and attack on these schools. And you can see if they can start here in the schools, it'll continue. It'll continue with not just institutions that are going to the workplaces. Before you know it, it'll go to even places that are not brick and mortar. Not brick and mortar. I mean, we knew this a long time ago that these kind of things would ensue. We knew this. So you prepare. You prepare well in advance. So this Q, let's see here. It kind of go into like a little definition of what this expands on. But it's saying that this applies to all the staff, the teachers, the restrooms, the lockers, the showers, the dorms, sports, and more. So everything has to be up under this equality. Under this equality to allow the men to go and participate with anything female and vice versa. This bill is a Pandora's box of evil that will insert itself into scores of federal laws and override all state and local laws and force religious institutions to accept and promote homosexual activity, bisexual activity, transgender activity, and any of the 550 deviant behaviors. I didn't even know that many. I didn't know. It used to just be just one. Then it expanded to 4 to make it what, LGBT, but I guess the Q is now the et cetera. Would they include every other perversion that's known and unknown to man? I mean, the very depths of Satan is right there, summarized in the Q. And they sneak in pedophilia. They sneak it right in there. So you can see how this just opened up the doors to even more perversions, brothers and sisters, even more. They even umbrellaed under the Q was people with animals, people with it's too disgusting. It is too disgusting. I can't. It is disgusting. The list will make you sick. It will make you sick. But they're saying if these religious institutions refuse to change their doctrines and policies to accommodate to this, they will be punished. They will be punished. We can see right now where this will go in the future, where this will go. But again, that cannot change your foundation, brothers and sisters. The enemy is going to push this before you, whether it be where you're at, where you're home, where you work, wherever it may be. He's going to push this before you. What do you do? What do you do? Stand firm on it, thus saith the Lord. Not to be angry, not to be harsh, but continue to stand firm. He's not going to stop. His time is very, very, very limited. If this all comes to fruition, his time is winding down. It is winding. He's about to be on this earth surrounded by nothing but dead bodies for thousands of years. So he's trying to ramp up that trophy case. He's trying to ramp up that number of dead bodies. Don't want to sell yourself short. Don't want to give away your crown when it's right there, even at the doors. Continue to speak kindness. Continue to share truth. Continue to be that light in this world that is loaded with darkness. You're right, Brother Gilbert. He don't let up. He does not. even just the other day, I was looking at my car. I was like, man, I just got this thing back. And I was looking at my tire pressure. I was like, what is my back tire? Why is it low? Why is it low? I made it work just fine. I said, okay, maybe just sometimes in the morning time, you know, all your tires, they tend to deflate overnight. And then, you know, while you're riding, the tire pressure builds back up. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's the case. So I got to work, and midday came around, and I got back in the car, and I'm looking like, oh, the tire pressure has not changed. What is going on? What's going on here? So I went and said, one of the back tires was, back left was low. It went like low, but it was sitting about 27. So I looked, and I was, let me feel around. Maybe it was on the valve is bad or something. Maybe just the TPS is just bad. And sure enough, there was a nail sitting right in the middle of that thing, right in the middle. And just immediately, you can just see the enemy just coming like, what are you going to do? Like, oh, man, you got this and that, take care of him. Like, no, I'm not going to be discouraged by this stuff. I'm not going to be discouraged. I know it's just you and you alone. You want to continue to attack. You want to continue to discourage. Continue to find a way to draw men off the path. Continue to find a way to get their eyes fixed away from God and focus on their problems, their issues, you know, being depressed, just whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, but continue to have a firm grip and a firm hold on Christ. Especially now. Now, more than ever, we are to speak the truth in love, she says. Our great teacher says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that was Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Oh, and right on time. Right on time. It is the top of the hour, and I did tell the kiddos that we're going to hit the trails. My daughter texted me right before I got home, and I had no idea. There's a cherry blossom tree sitting on the yard, and it's starting to bloom. And it is so pretty. And it's so pretty. So I don't know, because when I came here, I moved into this house, a lot of the vegetation was either on its way out. It was on its way out. It was dying. It was toward the fall, so a lot of the leaves are falling. So I didn't know about the fig tree in the back. I had no idea. The pecans were still in abundance, but they were beginning to fall. But now this cherry tree, a cherry blossom, it is white. It is white. It is looking very, very, very good. So we're going to take a picture of that, and I'll show it to you guys. But let me see. Is my brother, is he here? Is he here? Brother Sean, are you present? Because, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. My son had already pre-bagged some trail mix for us. We got some banana chips. We got my water. We're going to go and take a little nice walk. The breeze is feeling so good. We got some good weather coming up over the week. You know, they say next Sabbath is going to drop back down in like the 60s. I'm like, oh, okay. And all throughout the week, you got, you know, 70s, mid-70s, and then right back to the lower 60s, which is, you know, to me, anything below 70 is a problem. I made that quite clear. Anything below 70 is a problem. You know, being here in the South, you're just not too accustomed to that cold weather. But we're going to go out there, and you know, this is a fairly new trail, so we don't know too much about it. We only walked it one day. And the very next week, every Sabbath thereon, it was just like cold. It was so cold. But now that the weather is beginning to warm up for us, then we'll see. And then that next week, having that extra hour will be even better. I think right now, sunset's at around 6:30. Let me see. Let me check the almanac here. And I think today our sunset from where I'm at is 6:30. So next week, Lord willing, it will be 7:30 because of this whole time change. Will it? Yeah, yeah, 7:30. I'm looking at it. It's got Eastern time built up here. Okay. So let me see. Are you here there, bro? Oh, yep, there him be. There him be. All right, so I'm going to drop my mic, and me and the kiddos are going to get ready to hit this trail here. So enjoy the rest of your Sabbath day, brothers and sisters. Have a blessing to you all. God bless. The next voice you will hear be that of Brother Sean. Sabbath blessings, everyone.